Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into today's episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. I'm here today with my guest, Brandon Hopkins of Diamond Links, and today we are discussing how to land VC-funded clients. Brandon is the founder of Diamond Links, a results-focused SEO and online reputation management company. Brandon has been a leader in the SEO industry for over 15 years. His experience as an SEO consultant spans many industries, including e-commerce, technology, education, finance, public figures, and many more. Thanks so much for joining us today, Brandon.
You're welcome, Julia. Thanks for having me.
So let's dive into a couple questions so that we can get to know you a little bit. So where are you tuning in from today?
I'm in Central California.
Awesome. It's such a beautiful part of the world.
It is. We're between LA and San Francisco. So we're a couple hours from LA, a couple hours from San Francisco, a couple hours from the beach. So kind of centrally situated.
Yes, that sounds like an amazing location.
And it is. It's great.
That's awesome. And then, so what would you say motivates or inspires you?
I enjoy a challenge, and digital marketing and online marketing is always a challenge because things are constantly changing. You know, there's new technology, there's new algorithm updates. And so it's always fun trying to stay ahead of what's coming and identify trends about, you know, how we can keep our clients moving forward.
That's awesome. And then, so how did you get into digital marketing?
I actually used to do web design for local clients.
Okay.
Almost 20 years ago. And those clients then started to ask, well, you know, my website's fine, but I'm not getting any traffic and nobody's calling, nobody's saying they saw me online. So how do I get my website to start driving traffic? I went to sell more product and close more deals. And so I started looking into SEO, you know, almost 20 years ago, and then tried to figure that out. And it was a challenge back then as well. And so I kind of just got into it because there was a need from my web design clients.
Gotcha. Okay. And then, so how did Diamond Links come about exactly?
Diamond Links came about because I had a number of clients who kind of fit a similar mold where they had decent on-site SEO, but either they had a very poor offsite SEO, so poor link building, or even in some cases, toxic link building. And so We started seeing patterns with that. And so I started Diamond Links to try to address that need of results-based SEO and results-based reputation management, because generally with SEO, there's kind of two schools that are equally divided. There's the people that are white hat that only, you know, look at Google's guidelines and say, I only will do exactly what Google says.
Yep.
And then there's people that are black hat, which are on the far other spectrum and sometimes delve into things that are borderline illegal and say, I don't care what it takes, I'll do anything no matter what. And so I felt like neither one of those approaches were necessarily the best way. And so we kind of fall somewhere in the middle where we understand Google's guidelines, but we do other things that Google may not prefer. And then, you know, we look at the black hat and say, you know, we don't want to do anything illegal or immoral or unethical, but We do want to still get results for our clients. So trying to walk that fine line of results, what do we need to do to get results?
I love that. And then, so how would you guys say you differentiate yourself from other agencies?
Really, the one thing I tell clients and prospects is when you go to search your, you know, if it's an SEO client, when you go to search your keywords, you should see improvement. So you personally should be able to look at the Google search results and see your keywords moving up in the search results. It's very practical and very straightforward. If you're not seeing improvement, we're not doing a good job. Most agencies want to sell the sizzle more than the steak. So we've got beautiful mm-hmm. reports and dozens of account managers and your custom dashboard that you can see everything going on. And we provide all that too, but our focus is really on the results. And the results are where clients make money. If you were ranking number 10 for your keyword and now you're ranking number 2, you're probably going to get 8 times more traffic than you were, maybe 10 times more traffic. So there's a very tangible benefit to focusing on the results.
Gotcha. So you keep it simple. You just focus on the results and just try and keep it super simple for your clients.
Yeah. And we do provide monthly reports and we have account managers and, you know, we do all the agency stuff, but we really try to make sure everything that we do is focused on ranking results. And that's one thing that I've always appreciated because like when I look for vendors for something that we don't focus on, I always want to know at the end of the day, I pay you money. What am I going to get out of it? I want that to be easy to understand and I want it to make a difference in the bottom line.
Yes. Yes, of course. It makes so much sense. Okay. So let's delve into our topic. So we're going to be talking about how to land VC funded clients today. So to start, do you have a repeatable strategy that you use for connecting with VC funded prospects?
I would say that, you know, our process is a lot more holistic than it is, you know, like nitty gritty. We do A, B, and C, and D happens. Mm-hmm. You know, for a lot of, client acquisition models, you're looking at trying to identify, first of all, who is your ideal client? What's your ideal client profile? And then where can I find those people? And then in a lot of industries, how can I scale that to go from, you know, here's the type of clients I want, here's where I find them, how can I now reach out to 10,000 of them? Mm-hmm. So you end up with someone scraping LinkedIn and, you know, trying to use LinkedIn tools to connect with 10,000 people that fit your ICP, or you end up with Zoom Info and you're trying to, you know, export all of these matches into your email list and now you're trying to cold email them. And so I feel like there's always kind of a disconnect because as an agency owner, I get dozens of emails a day that are exactly like that. I get Facebook and LinkedIn contact requests, and I'm constantly bombarded with that exact type of methodology.
Yeah.
And I know for me, not only do I get sick of it, but I also don't respond to it. And so I take that like from my personal experience that I don't want that kind of messaging. And I don't typically use that kind of messaging because if I don't want it, most people probably feel the same and they don't want it either. So
exactly.
We kind of take a totally different approach and our strategy is more relational. And what I've found is investing in 2, 3, 4, 5 relationships mm-hmm. are so much more valuable than sending 10,000 cold emails to perfectly customized emails, perfectly found ideal customer profiles. You know, if you invest in a few relationships,
yes,
that to me has proved to be extremely valuable.
That's so smart. And yes, that is such a powerful strategy. Relationships are everything. You know, we do business with people that we know, like, and trust. And I'm 100% on the same page with you about cold email. Like, they're just annoying and off-putting when you get those messages on LinkedIn and Facebook. So, it's a great point you bring up.
Yeah, so, and half the time, you know, when somebody sends out like a contact request on LinkedIn, like you can tell it's a stock photo, you know, like, you know, that guy is not the real person. And you're like, all right, I don't know this person, you know, deny the request. Like, I don't know this person and move on with your day.
Yeah, definitely. It's all about the creating the relationships and delivering value as much as you can as well. Just being human and, not having just sales as the forefront of everything you do.
Yeah, but I do think that, you know, there can be a disconnect between keeping sales as part of the relationship, because ultimately, I mean, it's great to have friends, but if you only end up with VC funded friends, or, you know, people that work in the PE world, you're not going to make money. And so trying to balance making friends and making money can be a little tricky sometimes, because you don't want to only make friends and never make money. You're just, you know, wasting your business time.
Yes, I agree. I agree. I think having best interest at heart as well is something I'd like to add to that as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. And then, so do you have any tips for effectively pitching potential clients who are VC funded?
Yeah. My overall strategy for the last 15 years has been to give away every bit of information that I have, give away every bit of expertise that I have. Like, you know, for SEO, it's typically a fairly, you know, shrouded and secretive and misunderstood part of marketing that, you know, I have clients constantly tell me, like, oh, I know you can't share the secret sauce. I know you can't, you know, pull back the curtain. And I always tell them, like, I'll definitely share the secret sauce. You know, for SEO, we reach out to probably 50,000 different websites a month, and we try to build relationships with those website owners so that we can write and publish content on their site and get links back to your site. The strategy is very simple. We want good links on good quality websites. The problem is, if you're just starting out or if you're a business, you may not even know how to send out 50,000 emails a month. And then when someone responds, we take that manually. So how are you going to develop a team that can manually respond to 2,500 emails a month? And then from there, we negotiate rates and placements and, you know, whether it's a one-time fee or whether it's a monthly fee. And so there's a lot of work that goes into that, but the strategy is not overly complicated. It's just the execution of it that then becomes where we excel. We've tested this strategy. We know it works. We implement well. And that's why clients come to us, is because, you know, we've done all of these things. And so I feel like that's kind of like those intangible things that you go to somebody because they're really good at something. You know, you go to a podiatrist because he knows his area well. You take your car to a mechanic who knows what he's doing. And so that's what I've always like kind of seen as a good way to do things is, you know, your mechanic is going to tell you your transmission's bad. We need to replace your transmission. And you understand that. So with SEO, I feel like that should be an understandable thing. Here's what we're going to do. Here's what we expect to happen. Here's what it's going to cost. And here's when we can get started.
Yes, absolutely. And then, so do you guys work with a specific niche, or are you pretty broad in the industries that you serve?
We're definitely very broad, but we have found success with tech and SaaS VC funded clients. And I think that just kind of by nature of where our relationships have developed is I've known some VC funded companies that were in that industry. Those are where, you know, the relationship started, and we've had great success there. I mean, we've also worked with a lot of educational companies that are both tech and non-tech. We've worked with like CEO recruiting companies. I mean, we've worked in just about every vertical that I can imagine. And I mean, that's just happened over the last 15 years. And so we don't necessarily specialize and only do certain industries, but we do happen to have a lot of tech, SaaS, and VC funded clients.
Okay, interesting. So are there any drawbacks to working with VC funded clients?
It's a very slow process. You know, so, you know, when you get a business owner on the phone, somebody that, you know, he can pull out his wallet and give you his credit card, often you can actually get him to pull out his credit card and say, all right, I'm ready to go. You know, but with a VC funded client, you're needing to send proposals, send scopes of work. Often they put out an RFP. So it tends to be a little bit slower of a process. And
gotcha.
When I first started in business, I couldn't wait for revenue. And so I needed revenue today to pay contractors, to pay employees. And now we can definitely, you know, wait out the 2 to 6 months that it often takes. And there'll be a meeting today and they've talked to somebody and now they bring in the director of marketing. So now you're talking a second meeting with the director of marketing, and the director of marketing and the marketing assistant both think it's a great company. So they refer you up to the CMO, and now you're having a third meeting with the CMO. And we've done board meetings that the whole board needs to be involved. So it's just a very different sales cycle. But if you go in understanding that today is not the day that we will close this deal, but we will work towards the end goal of closing the deal, that's the biggest difference that I've seen with VC funded clients.
Gotcha. So it's just a longer sales cycle overall.
Definitely.
What are the benefits you would say for working with VC funded clients?
By and large, they have the money that they say they have. Mm-hmm. When you work with a small business owner, there's often chasing invoices and following up about payments. And you sometimes get the runaround like, well, I thought I paid you, I'll pay you on Monday. And, you know, just the general small business problems that
he's
waiting for a payment to come in that hasn't come in yet. So he can't pay you because he hasn't been paid. And it just, that's its own tiring mess. But with VC-funded clients, they have typically the money in the bank. They've already established an annual marketing budget. So they're telling you this year, we can spend X number of dollars. And they have an AR and an AP accounting department. And so you send the invoice off, the invoice comes back, you know, 30, 60 days later, and it's very standardized, which is a nice thing to be able to know you're getting paid, when you're getting paid, how you're getting paid, as opposed to needing to follow up on an invoice 5 times.
Awesome. So yeah, they're basically like a dream client. Like you can put together an amazing proposal for them. You know, you're going to be paid by them and you're able to generate really great results as well. So yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah. And I would say that, you know, with VC funded clients, they also are still very relational. So like they have a corporate structure that is not the same as a small business at all, but they're still very relational. So, you know, that's kind of what I wanted to offer is my experience in like how we've worked specifically with them and finding those people. And then once you've found those people, how to maximize that relationship. And what I've discovered is certain worlds are very interconnected. So I have one guy who started out as a client and we've worked together for so long that I would consider him a friend. I mean, I know how many kids he has. I know his wife's name. I know where he lives. He knows my family. And so we've grown from just a business relationship to, you know, an outside of work friendship.
Yes.
And from him, what I've seen is in his marketing career, and you're, you know, with me, I'm typically working with the marketing departments and the director and vice president and all, you know, depending on the structure titles, we're working with somebody in the marketing department and almost always either geographically, so either by city or by industry, a lot of people know each other in industries or in cities. And so like this guy that, you know, I now consider a friend, throughout his career, he has gone, since I've known him, to 4 different companies. And so every time he goes to a different company with either a lateral move or a promotion, he calls and says, hey, I took a job with this company. Can you send me a proposal? I need to, you know, I need to have you meet with the CMO so that we can talk through SEO and link building. And so, you know, great. And a lot of times we'll keep the old company. Sometimes with changes in management, you know, that person brings in somebody they already know. So it all depends. But what I know is that he will not only take me to his next company because he values the work that we do, but he also knows 50 other people that are in his position in his city. And so it benefits me to maintain a good relationship with him. And to every once in a while, just mention, hey, if you know anybody else that's, you know, in your world that might need my help, would you pass along my information? And he likes my service. He likes what we do. He likes me relationally. And so to him, it's just a win-win to recommend us as a vendor. And that's where I found our greatest VC growth, is making those connections with individuals that you like, that you have a rapport with, that then you can start to, you know, kind of graduate the relationship out of, I send an email during business hours, to, you know, text on the weekend, how did the golf tournament go? Mm-hmm. And in the beginning, it has to be personal. You know, it has to be a genuine care that you have for that person, that you get to know them and you get to figure out who they are.
Yeah, absolutely. Such great advice. And yeah, it just goes to show the power of relationships and building relationships. So yeah, I love that. Do you have any more advice that you'd like to share with regards to landing VC funded clients?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, finding those, you know, 3 to 5 people that you can build a relationship with. Mm-hmm. It's often a very specific work. Like, for example, I have a client who I think went to Ohio State, but is definitely an Ohio State football fan. Mm-hmm. So I happened to see an Ohio State mug on Amazon when I was buying something different the other day. Yeah. And it just immediately connected. So I bought the mug, Amazon shipped it to me. I wrote a handwritten note, packed it up, took it to UPS and shipped it. I only had his business address. Mm-hmm. So I shipped it to the office. And I mean, it literally must have been the day it arrived. He took a picture of it sitting on his desk, sent me an email with the picture, thanking me, saying how much it meant to him. And, you know, just telling me that he appreciated that gesture.
Yeah.
My total cost was like $10 for the mug and $8 for shipping or something. And an $18 investment in that relationship, mm-hmm, is something he's not going to forget anytime soon. And
that was because 100%.
We connected on LinkedIn. I saw him posting about Ohio State and, you know, I went out of my way to maintain and build that relationship.
That's so smart. And yeah, you're just, yeah, every time he looks at that mug, he's going to remember you. And it's a great way to stand out.
Yeah. And so, you know, I can text him and, you know, give him a hard time if Ohio State loses, or congratulate him if they win, or, you know, just however the relationship is built, to just kind of maintain. And you don't have to do a lot of work once, mm-hmm, you have the relationship. Months can go by and you can just reach out. Hey, how's it going? I haven't talked to you in a while. What's new? And, you know, half of them will pick up the phone 2 minutes later and be like, hey, I'm glad you texted. I haven't talked to you in a while. And, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's awesome. I love that. So where do you see Diamond Links in 5 years' time?
We're looking at scaling fairly aggressively. We have great procedures and policies in place. And so we're looking to continue growing. We've doubled business over the last couple of years and look to continue doing that. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I always am personally invested in is making sure that our strategies are effective. And I feel like that's not something that I can hand off to anybody else, because I've been around SEO for a long time and I recognize trends and I recognize patterns, and it's not something that I like to pass off. So mm-hmm, I like to stay very, very connected to the actual work that we do to make sure that we're actually producing results, because I'm never going to tell a client on a call, we can do this, if I don't think we can do it. So mm-hmm, I need to stay, you know, hands dirty in the work to make sure that we can continue doing that. So to me, I want to scale and I want to grow, but not at the expense of doing poor quality work for clients. So partnering and pairing those things has always been, as a business owner, a little bit tricky, because I won't hand off the important parts of the work, mm-hmm. but I also have to spend my time doing that. And it's part of the work that I love doing, because that's, you know, kind of going back to the challenge. I like the challenge and I want the challenge. And it's, once you figure it out and you see websites start to rank, it's like, I got it. I knew that was going to work. I tested it. There it is right there in action. I can prove it and it's repeatable. And I can now take that out to clients.
That's awesome. Well, we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
One of the most recent books I read was a short book called Built to Sell. I don't remember the author right now. It's a little blue book. And I read it just recently. And I realized that I've done so many things wrong building a business. But now I look back and I see, well, you know, it could have been better, but it's not better. So, but that was a fun book, and it was an easy read, and it was a quick read. So that was a fun book, if nothing else, just to show me I should have done things differently. And maybe if there's ever a next time, I will.
Awesome. I'm definitely going to have to check that out. And what does your morning routine look like?
I'm pretty easygoing. And so I tend to get up about 6. I read my Bible, do a Bible study till about 7:30. My kids start getting up about that time. So talk with the kids. Sometimes I'll have breakfast with them, talk with my wife. I usually start work at 7:30 to 8:30. Mm-hmm. And so just pretty relaxed. The whole company works remotely. So we've got an office in Louisiana that a couple people are in, but most people are remote and I'm remote. So pretty fairly relaxed and flexible in the mornings.
Gotcha. And then is there a CEO that you follow or study?
That's a question that I typically would answer with a no, especially in my industry. I've mm-hmm. found that it's really hurtful and harmful to me when I start getting ideas from other people that I don't test and strategize on my own. Mm-hmm. So I like to just, in my own mind, be able to start developing strategies before I ever read somebody else telling me about a strategy. I want to flesh it out and work it out and test it out on my own. So I purposefully avoid most of the SEO industry experts mm-hmm. for that reason.
That's really interesting. I love that. And then what is your favorite online tool?
I would say from an SEO perspective, one of my favorite tools is Ahrefs. It gives a lot of great data. Mm-hmm. A non-SEO tool, I really like Loom for videos. I would much yes. rather send a 2-minute video to somebody than type out a 10-minute email. And it's personal and it's easy to do. My office is set up, you know, with lights. I can just flip on a light and the video is ready to go. And it's just easy to send. And Loom is, I don't know, $10 a month or something.
It's one of those tools.
But it's worth so much more.
Yeah, I know. It's so handy. I love Loom as well.
Yeah, and on a Mac, I've got a Loom Chrome extension, and I also have it downloaded. And so I can hit, I think it's on a Mac, like Command-Shift-L, and the Loom window just pops up and starts recording. It's like, perfect. Oh. A hotkey that opens it up, starts recording, Command-Shift-L, it stops, it saves it to my clipboard, I paste it in an email, and I'm literally done with a 2-minute video in 2.5 minutes.
That's awesome. Well, you taught me something. I didn't know that there was a hotkey for it, but I do have the Chrome extension. So
yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah, it's great.
Okay. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I struggled with trying to do what other people were doing for a long time. I saw other people that were successful on social media. And so I thought if I could just replicate what they were doing, that I would also be successful. Mm-hmm. And I think there is some wisdom in that. You know, you don't need to reinvent the wheel every time. But for me, being able to learn not only what is effective, but why it's effective mm-hmm. was more valuable than trying to replicate someone else's success. So now for me, I don't want to just know what works. I want to know why it works. So then when a client asks a question that's deeper, I can unfold everything and tell them, here's what we do, here's why we do it, here's what to expect, here's the time frame, here's how much we need to do it. And so just a very deep knowledge of what we're doing, as opposed to just taking what somebody else is doing and doing it because it works for them.
Yeah, because you don't know, you might be copying all their mistakes as well if you're just copying them blindly.
Yeah, and if somebody's sharing something on social media, it's probably because it used to work in the past, and now they're giving out that information, not because it still works, but because it used to work, and now they can share that because there's no, you know, business value lost.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Brandon. It's been really great chatting with you.
Yeah, Julia, same for you. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.